Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, I'm Peter Seabrook, here to exchange the latest news, views and a little timely advice on all matters gardening. Later in the podcast, I'll be speaking to Liz Hudson, a nutritional therapist and one from a background of gardening and horticulture. My thanks to Hayloft Nurseries, this week's sponsor. What a weekend. Saturday was really a lovely day for early February. Excellent conditions. I was very close to Oxford digging on an allotment. Goodness, what beautiful soil it was there, not so very far from the banks of the Thames. My spade would sort of drop in up to the shaft. It was like potting soil. The remarkable thing for me was it's a really big set of allotments there at Dorchester-on-Thames. But my son and I were the only two on the allotment. Perfect conditions for digging. Where were the rest of them? If you can get the land prepared now, boy, it makes life so much easier into the future. I like to just dig a strip so that I've made my mark. And we didn't quite finish. And it got dark. We had to go. And then the next day, well, I mean, I couldn't stand up for the wind. And the rain was horizontal. I couldn't leave that little bit undug, you know, it's against my principles. So we absolutely fought the weather and I did manage to finish it. Didn't do much of a job and not very proud of that finish. But, you know, I don't think we have climate here in Britain. We just have weather. And my God, fathers, we had some weather last weekend. It is a very early season. There's a daffodil called Rheinwelt Early Sensation, which will flower in January and February. But this year, all the standard varieties of daffodil are well up and some of them really well out. It looks to me as if February Gold Narcissus, which always flowers in March, is actually going to flower in February this year. So get out there and enjoy it while we've got all this wonderful spring blossom. There's no shortage of news, you know, week after week. I'm amazed at how much happens in our quiet, gentle little gardening industry. I was pleased to read, for example, that in January, plant sales were up 9%, the best they've been for years. No surprise, really, because the weather's been very, very accommodating for us gardeners. I did mentioned some of the awards at the Garden Centre Association in our podcast last week, and I've now heard that the two major awards for the best garden centres in the country within the Garden Centre Association membership is Barton Grange up in the northwest and Frangor. They always have two because there's two categories. Barton Grange, of course, with the destination garden centre, big turnover, and Frangor, one of those with a turnover less than 4 million. I was very interested too to read that Squires in their coffee shops have now got what they call chatter natter tables. But apparently it does us all good, you know, to have a bit of a chat. Sarah Squire told me that she believes a short conversation with another human being can really brighten your day. Everyone's welcome at Squire's Chatter Natter Tables. Garden centres continue to change hand. The Forest Lodge garden style and burden walled is in the process of being sold to Haskins Chain. Warren Haskins says that he's looking forward to Forest Lodge joining our family business. We've developed a great culture within Haskins and work hard to develop a long-term plan for all our sites with a view of remaining a family-owned independent business. I welcome that. I love family-owned businesses where there is a personal drive. Oh, and up in Scotland, Klondike Group have just acquired Gardenwise Plant and Garden Centre at Dumfries. That'll be Klondike's 22nd centre. They took over a company called Strikes, and I worked for that chain for 20 years, so I'm interested to see those changings. I mentioned last week the IPM trade show at Essen in Germany, and there was a number of things that I must pass on. Three new tomatoes from Klaus. Buffalo Sun is a beefsteak that's yellow in colour, but with red veins. Very pretty when it's cut across. And then they've got the traditional size, Honeymoon, which has apple-shaped fruits, but they're pink. You know, we tried to introduce pink tomatoes, well, 20, 30 years ago. They're very popular in Japan and the Far East, and they have particularly good flavour. But at that time, people in the UK just couldn't cope with pink tomatoes. But this Honeymoon, if you bite into that, well, King Seeds say that you get an explosion of flavour in your mouth. So I can't wait to see whether I get that explosion or not. And then they also have a small cherry tomato called Crokinny. I have grown that. I grew that last summer. And yes, it does have a very good flavour for a small cherry tomato. There are a number, too, of really good coloured zonal geraniums. I'm thinking particularly of a variety called White Splash, coming from PAC in Germany, or an agapanthus called Poppin' Purple. It's the first evergreen that reblooms. In other words, instead of getting just one big flush of flowers, Poppin' Purple just keeps on producing flowers right the way through the summer, and it should be hardy down to -5. I was interested too to see a new small flowered garden gerbera called Cheeky. It was, yes, just a cheeky little flower. And we hope to launch some of those blooms at the Chelsea Flower Show. But how about back home? I mean, there's quite a lot happening in the garden. I noticed that the rhubarb is rocketing away. Don't forget, rhubarb, it just needs a little of attention too often. Crowns are just stuck in a corner. People pull them to death spring after spring. It is worth giving them some fertiliser at this time of the year, something high nitrogen, some grow more or chicken pellets. And if you can mulch round with a bit of garden compost to hold the moisture, so much the better. It's time, too, to start sowing quite a number of hardy vegetables. And you know, with a thing like lettuce, I like to do it at the kitchen table. I get one of those cell packs, a little sort of honeycomb type thing with small cells, fill that with seed compost, put a little patch of seed out of the packet and get a dead match. The end of the match I dip in water just to moisten it a little bit, and then I can pick up those lettuce seeds one at a time and place them exactly where they need to go in the cell. If you're working with kids, I can tell you, watching their concentration as they damp the match and they pick up the seed. And if it's one of the white-seeded lettuce, that makes it even easier because they can see exactly where they put each of the seeds in the cells. Once you've got them in place, just push them in so that they're gently covered. And in the case of lettuce in a warm atmosphere, they'll be up in 4 or 5 days. I like to do it with children on a Friday because when they come back to school on the Monday or Tuesday, their lettuce are up and away. You can sow tomatoes and peppers and aubergines in exactly the same way. The damp match works very well indeed.
Hold up. With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Our guest this week is Liz Hudson. She's a nutritional therapist, but from a gardening and horticultural background. We hear an awful lot about health and what we should do to be healthy. Can you sort of set the scene for us a bit?
Yes, certainly. I studied horticulture and I've worked in the garden centre trade for probably 3 decades now. But I've always been interested in health. And latterly, I did some training events for some garden centre staff on grow your own and did research for that. And then I decided to study as a nutritional therapist. So the relevance of what I'd found in the studies for grow your own and gardening became even more important once I realised how important it is for your health.
And you see it for all aspects of health, sort of stress, depression, well-being, all those things.
Absolutely. There are lots of these benefits dotted about. So many people, you know, read in the papers that gardening is good for you, it's good for stress, anxiety and so on. But basically what I've tried to do is draw the mental and physical and nutritional benefits together and form some sort of roadmap for people.
But I mean, if we do sort of garden and grow our own, how is that better than just nipping down the greengrocer and getting some fresh fruit and veg?
A lot of people might have noticed that the taste of shop-bought fruit and veg is nowhere near grow your own produce. The taste, as you know, Peter, is entirely different. And one of the reasons for that is that the commercial varieties that are grown, A, they're not grown for flavour, B, they're not grown for nutrition. They are grown for ease of harvest, and also they are picked very often before they're ripe. And the soils are depleted as well. The soils that commercial growers are using, it's quite a crisis at the moment. They are depleted of life, really. And so we're not what we eat, we're what that eats. And the diet of what that eats is not very good. So if you're growing your own in your own good quality garden soil and you're picking it when it's ripe, not only does it contain more nutrients like vitamins and minerals, but it also contains a lot more of what are called phytonutrients. And they are the stars, really, health-wise. So, for example, the colours in things like berries and your carrots and your green veg, they all contain incredible health benefits. Now, one of the ones that your listeners might have heard of is resveratrol, which has anti-aging properties, and that's very concentrated in red wine, which is probably good news. But every fruit and veg, especially the highly coloured ones, has a high level of these phytonutrients.
Liz, I suppose if a commercial grower is picking, they'll pick just before it's fully ripe too, won't they? So the colours are not fully developed, so that you've got a long shelf life, whereas in the garden you can pick it absolutely at the perfect stage.
You're spot on, Peter. Obviously, if you're harvesting things like berries or tomatoes, you want to get them when they're easy to transport, but then you're missing out on those phytonutrients. So if you can pick something straight from the vine or the bush, then, you know, it's far, far more nutritious. They've been found to be preventative for things like cancer, anti-aging, lower your blood sugar, make you more insulin sensitive, protect your prostate, and how you cook them and prepare them will also have a bearing on their nutritional content.
Now, when you and I spoke, you mentioned the blue zone, which sort of strengthened the case that you're putting today.
Yes, I mean, our average what's called health span, so that's our years of healthy life, unfortunately, in this country, is about 64 years old. Now, that means that we're sort of creaking away for the last 10 to 15 years of our lives.
Steady now. I'm not creaking away. I'm firing on all cylinders.
Not you, Peter, but that's because you're a gardener, very likely. But
eating my own homegrown fresh.
That's what it is, you see. So, there are five areas of the world that have been designated as blue zones. And this is where people are living to 100 plus years, but healthily. I mean, some of them are still having sex. You know, they're doing open heart surgery. So they're doing quite well. And plants and gardening feature very highly in their lives. So most of them they grow their own veg. They spend a lot of time outdoors, and all of that has benefits.
Now, you've mentioned the soil and it being good soil. Would you like to expand on that a little bit?
Yes, certainly. So a tablespoon of good soil should contain more microorganisms than there are humans on the planet. So that's what I mean by life in the soil.
Yeah.
So it should have a lot of microorganisms, minerals, organic matter, and be good at water holding and so on.
Well, now, if somebody's listening to this that's new to gardening, where do they start, Liz? Can you give them a little bit of sensible advice?
I would say start small. I would say think very carefully about what you want to achieve. You might be completely new, so you would start with easier things. If you had access to a garden, you would start with things like potatoes, lettuce, radish, spring onions, things that, you know, the easy crops. I'm sure you could add a few more, Peter.
Well, I do quite a bit with schools.
So I've got the perfect solution for this. Something that ticks all the boxes. You don't even need a garden. And that's broccoli sprouts. Do your school children grow
those? No, they don't. We do pea shoots, you know, sow peas and cut the green shoots. And we do salad leaves, almost like mustard and cress. But what about broccoli shoots? Because, I mean, cauliflower is a difficult thing to grow in the garden, isn't it?
It is. And I don't really find broccoli that easy because the brassicas, as you know, they get lots of attack from pests and diseases. But they have something in them called sulforaphane. Now, broccoli sprouts, and that's got incredible health benefits. I mean, more than your entire podcast, I'd have to spend listing them. But they are, if your listeners want to research sulforaphane, they'll come up with a huge amount. Anyway, you just need the seeds, some water, and a jar. And the broccoli sprouts actually contain about 100 times more sulforaphane than broccoli, which is in itself considered a superfood. And the other thing is you're eating them raw, so you're not destroying the sulforaphane.
So just a minute, I've got a jar.
Yeah.
Does it have a screw top lid on?
Well, you can buy special sprouting jars, and I'd advise people to get something like that, because it's like a mason jar, but that you've got a sort of metal mesh at the top, and
right.
You can get little stands. So what you do is you rinse your broccoli seeds, you let them soak overnight, and then you rinse them and drain them two or three times a day. And then within probably 5 to 7 days, you've got your broccoli sprouts, and you can add those into your sandwiches, on salads, sprinkle some on soups, that sort of thing.
And does the jar need to be in the light during the daytime?
When they start sprouting, it does, yeah.
Liz, I understand that you're doing a series of workshops on this subject in much greater detail than we have time for today. What's involved? What do you cover?
Well, I'll be looking at the general benefits of gardening, plus more specific details about grey roan and the benefits of and practical tips. So, for example, there are lots of practical tips if you're just starting out, or even if you're a more experienced gardener, how you can get the most nutrition by growing the right varieties and having a consistent supply. And then just some time-saving tips, because, you know, like many people, a lot of us are short of time. So things like seed tapes, watering systems, just simple, cost-effective tips that people may not know about, and how to get the most nourishment out of your soil. And then we'll be looking at things like indoor air quality, which is, we spend 90% of our time indoors, and how to improve that. So there'll be something for everybody, and they should all be pretty enthusiastic, I would think, about plants and gardening. And not just that, its role in mitigating climate change and supporting wildlife.
And Liz, where will the first one or two, and is there somewhere that listeners can go to see your calendar of workshops?
If any of your listeners would like to know where all the events are being held, they can go on my Facebook page, which is called Growing for Health, and there will also be a link where they can go on a waiting list to download an ebook that I'm doing with lots and lots of references, and I'm sure they'll find it useful regardless of where they are now.
Liz, thank you very much. Thanks for what you're doing and for joining us today. Look forward to being at one of those workshops with a bit of luck.
Oh, you'd be very welcome, Peter. Thanks very much.
What's on? Well, there's a big snowdrop session at Barnsdale Gardens at Oakham. That goes on until the 28th of February. If the weather stays as warm as it's been, could be almost over by the end of that period. And for my tailpiece, I was interested to come across at IPM a waterless toilet. Apparently in Finland now, they have a toilet which contains some very dry sphagnum peat and wood fibres. You don't have any water at all. And of course, dry peat's very good at absorbing moisture and ammonia. And at the time when you need to empty it, you have the perfect soil-improving garden compost. Puts a whole new meaning to peat bog. Thanks to Hayloft Nurseries, this week's sponsor, and of course to my producer, Rich Jarman. Look forward to chatting next week. Puts a whole new meaning to peat bog.
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming.